So welcome to the show. Early signing day was just under a week ago. So this is the Monday night after last Wednesday, which was early signing day. There were some, I guess, surprises on early signing day, and the world got to see AB's reaction live as it was happening. So AB, you were on 247's live stream as that was going on. What were your immediate kind of thoughts on that?
Well, so word started getting out. You know, obviously I was on the Tomahawk Nation Discord and kind of on our Slack and on the website following along of kind of what the news of the day was and what was going on, and had some ideas of what was kind of going down. They had missed out on Tyree West earlier in the morning, which was a recruitment they kind of expected to go their way. And I had some skepticism leading up to the week, and really two and a half weeks prior to that, that I was leery that they were capable of taking the information that they were giving, processing that information, and making a calculated guess of where kids were going. Had kind of heard some things that made me skeptical that they were going to be able to really have a peg on where guys were going. And unfortunately, that turned out to be true.
So do you think kids were just lying to them and they weren't reading it well? Or do you think they were just reading too much, being too optimistic?
I think there was some over-optimistic, or maybe that's not the right way to phrase that, but I think that they thought they had better relationships with some kids than they did. I think, yeah, I'm sure there was definitely some lying and some deceit at play. I think that NIL or whatever the hell it is was a big issue for them.
Yeah. I kind of got the impression that certain teams might have been swooping in late with lucrative deals, and Florida State was not prepared. Yeah.
And some states were better prepared to do that kind of stuff. Florida State really, from the coaching aspect, could not be hands-on at all with NIL. They couldn't tell kids what they were going to be able to do for them and that kind of stuff because of state law. Other states did not have that law, which obviously set them up at a disadvantage. But Florida State's been way behind on all the NIL stuff anyway. Even though they had a head start, they were way behind.
Logan, my man, said, "What happened with Hunter is while I'll probably adopt more of Kevin's mindset of not following recruiting much and just enjoying what we have and have fun understanding football concepts." Yeah. Well, I'm not telling you to not follow recruiting. I'm just telling you don't count your chickens before they hatch. I think some of these people get a little too invested with a 18-year-old's decision. You've taught high school. I've taught high school. When you're dealing with an 18-year-old kid, 1 minute to the next minute could be totally different kids.
Their minds change like the wind blows.
Yeah.
But when I got the text that Travis Hunter had informed the staff earlier in the day that he was going to go to Jackson State, but I think that there was some back and forth about that. But
it sounded like Georgia had the bead.
Well, yeah, I think that was all smokescreen, sadly.
Mm.
But when I got the text that he had, that it was done and that he was going to Jackson State, my reaction was, I got it. And I was on with the 247 guys and I got it, and they had been talking about it, and Josh had been on the phone and off the phone and kind of coming back and forth. And I had a feeling he probably was getting some up-to-date information on what was going on there. But when I got the text, I read it and I was on there. I was just like, yeesh. And they all were like, what was it? So I text. There was a little forum on the side that you could communicate with them without putting it out on air. And I let them know what I had heard, and they all kind of chuckled and said, yeah. And, and then obviously it went down, and I did have a rather F-bomb laced tirade about the Florida State administration. You know what? I don't work for Florida State. I can have those rants. Those guys have to be very professional. I can take my professionalism down sometimes. I try not to, because I try to be respectful of all those guys, because they're That, you know, they, not that we've been fortunate enough to have any of them on for an interview here. We certainly are trying, and we try to obviously be as respectful to them as possible because we want to stay in their good graces. But I was very frustrated with the Florida State administration, and was very much questioning their commitment to being an elite football program at that moment, and I let it be known.
Yeah, so that will lead into a conversation we'll have later. So to give just a brief glimpse, I think me and AB tend to sit on opposite sides of the same coin of Florida State's future, pessimism, optimism. He's got some points, I've got some points, and we'll talk about that after we break down some film. But I think before we get into that, and before we get to the potential negativity of that, I think that there is some time and some worth into talking about some of the kids that will be on campus, because there is going to be talented kids that are worth talking about. Your whole class isn't one kid, although that kid could make a class by himself. So we're going to break down some film first before we do all that. So I guess we can start with the recent transfer that a lot of people will be talking about, and hopefully we can do this without getting in trouble with the with the film people. But let's go over Micah Pittman's highlights. So Micah Pittman is the transfer wide receiver from Oregon that we just signed, I believe, yesterday, unless my days are running together already.
He's not signed, but committed. Yes, committed.
Okay, committed. Is he a spring enrollee?
Mm-hmm. Yep. He says he'll be here in January.
Okay, so he should be here in a couple weeks. So, without further ado, let's jump into the film and see kind of what we see. Okay, so
sometimes you gotta find him. He's number four on the film. A lot of times he lines up at the slot. Sometimes he's out wide.
So when I watched the film, this is one that immediately stood out to me because this is similar to a route concept FSU likes to run. So you've got this is kind of a four verticals type look, but so you got everybody kind of running off here. But he's in the slot here. They've got a man on the safety practically. Oh, I guess he's this guy. This middle slot here. Yeah. And this is a nickel. And he beats him over the top. And obviously this is an NFL quarterback making a good throw here. But he's able to get separation over the top against a nickel corner, which is something that we haven't really been seeing. So,
yeah, it's we saw some of the lack of physicality. We pointed that out at times. He's a thicker kid.
Built very much like Ja'Kai Douglas.
Yeah, I thought so. I thought he was a rich man's Ja'Kai Douglas. I think he's got a little more speed than Ja'Kai. I think he's a little thicker, a little stronger, a little more of a complete player. I think right now Ja'Kai is a guy that can go deep, and that's what he does best. Whereas you've seen Pittman catch a slant, you've seen him go deep, you've seen him catch a little smoke screen there. You see him on a slant again. He seems to be comfortable in traffic, which is nice. A good hands catcher. He doesn't let the ball get all the way into his body.
He runs solid routes.
Yeah, he tracks the ball pretty well, which is good. Seems to have good body control.
Good. I think in an ideal world, he's a kid that you'd want as your number two receiver. I don't think he's a guy that you want to necessarily have to match up against top corners all day and expect to win, but he's a very, very solid piece. That
there's a nice little zone sit down in a Rose Bowl game. Again, he's got one of the best young NFL quarterbacks in the game thrown to him there. Kind of funny how Mario Cristobal really wasted Justin Herbert, but that's another story for another day.
That might be something we talk a little bit more about later.
Yeah, here's a great go route, tracks the ball really well in the air.
Great catch.
Yeah, absolutely great catch. But he was a guy who freshman year had a decent year for them, and then obviously the COVID year, which, you know, guys all handled that very much differently. And then he's documented as in his third year this year, he wanted to redshirt because he knew that this was an offense that wanted to run the football a lot. He wanted to redshirt, was talked out of that redshirt, and then kind of I can't remember if he had an injury or what the deal was, but didn't have much of a year this year. There's a familiar concept.
Yeah, Oregon did a good job of getting him out in space. So those few one-on-one routes he wins that you see in this film are really an encouraging sign, like winning on that go route. He had good hand play there. He's a yards after catch kind of guy. Really seems to have an eye for it. By all accounts, according to Oregon fans, he has very sure hands. I don't have access to the kind of data that would verify that for me. But he looks like a solid kid. I think if the offensive line is able to add a tackle and you're maybe able to add another outside receiver, this is the kind of kid that you need to make an offense, a passing game more versatile, a kid that can get open in the middle of the field.
Yeah. You're seeing him win against zone. You're seeing him win against man. It's obviously good stuff. This is against a Stony Brook, but there's a great flag route for a touchdown.
Yeah.
He brings the floor of that room up. That's for sure.
Yep. 100%.
I think he's a better player than Keyshawn Helton. I don't want to disparage Keyshawn Helton here, but he's a guy that makes sure Keyshawn Helton doesn't have to play a lot. And that's a good thing for the program.
Yeah. And so this is another big aspect of his game that he'll be bringing to Florida State. By all accounts, he's a very sure punt returner. And actually, it sounded like Oregon fans were upset that he fair caught too often. But at least he caught. So
at least he caught. That's a win.
That is a win in our books. So do you have any closing thoughts on this kid? Anybody in the chat have any questions?
No, I think I kind of already gave my closing thoughts. He brings the floor of that room up, which makes you better as a program, which is where they got to get to. We need whatever Chris Seibert. We need whatever, I hope I said his last name right. We need whatever upgrades we can get. Yep, that's pretty much it. That sums it up for me. This is another speed guy to go with Douglas, to pair with McLean and Burrell and those bigger body guys that you could throw out there and let him get going.
Yeah, a lot of the younger kids we have in on the roster are bigger guys. You got Portier, you got Burrell, you got McLean. And so maybe this guy kind of takes a little attention from them. This play was also earlier.
They kind of recap a few plays. Was he coming off an injury? I thought he had an injury this year, but I don't think it's anything major. Who would you compare Anthony Brown to? I think that's the Oregon quarterback. And is Travis an upgrade for Pittman? Honestly, I didn't watch enough Oregon to be able to tell you whether Anthony Brown was any good or not. I just don't care about Oregon. I don't pay that much attention to them. I think the Jordans continue to improve. Look, I never have. Yeah, you're welcome, man.
I think he's also going to be in an offense that's more willing to allow Jordan Travis to throw the ball. I don't think Oregon really wanted that. Cristobal's not really a kind of guy that wants to open up the offense in that way. So,
right. Logan had a decent question here. I'm gonna kick it, Brendan Sinone style. Buyer Sinone, Pittman being the leading receiver next year. I can't think of a number one receiver we have. McLean hasn't proven himself enough yet. I'm actually gonna sell that. I think that they're gonna bring another guy in that will have that number one caliber receiver. So I don't think that Pittman's going to be the number one, but I think Pittman's going to have a decent year.
I think
they've shown they can scheme these guys open on wheel routes and stuff. They're going to find ways to get him the ball deep down the field.
I think if Pittman's your number two receiver, you're having a good offensive year.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I think you're pretty pleased with your offensive output if Pittman's your number two receiver.
Yep, I agree.
Whether that's McLean stepping up or you get a true number one in the transfer portal. But either way, I'm stoked about Pittman. I think that's a big get. I think that's a floor you need to be raised. And so let's go ahead and move on. So we have Pittman. Let's move on to Sam McCall. So Sam McCall is a number one rated recruit in FSU's class as it stands right now. And tell me a little bit about Sam McCall.
Yeah, he's going to come in and play corner early. He's a dual position kind of guy. He could play wide receiver for you, or he could play in the secondary. Sadly, we couldn't get his senior film. I wish he had his senior highlights up. Sam had a pretty he had some good stuff this year.
That's just a great play.
I think long term he's maybe a safety.
Yeah, that's what you guys kept telling me, but
yeah,
I know you love what you see out of corner right here. Very physical, mm-hmm. not afraid to get there. So in my mind, he could be a safety or he could be a boundary corner and be that physical guy that you can bring in for run support.
My worry is he shows some tightness sometimes in some of these turns. They're not as fluid as I'd like him to be, and his acceleration isn't as good as
right.
And it isn't as good as you would like an elite corner to have.
An elite receiver here probably wins over the top.
Yeah, and we've seen that from him in 7-on-7s, and we saw Travis Hunter, which not to bring up that name, but we saw him beat McCall down the field in some of the summer camp stuff that they went against each other. I have my concerns about him as a boundary corner, but I think with some work he could probably be fine there. But he's a playmaker.
Is he a kind of guy that you might see getting some offensive snaps early in his career?
I would love that. I think he's a better offensive player than defensive player personally.
I don't tend to disagree with you. I also think this team is in more need of a wide receiver with dynamic capabilities than a safety with dynamic capabilities. But I think you also look to the kid's future. He'll be here for 3 years. So what is he going to give you in 3 years from now? Is he going to be a more instrumental safety or corner? I think you're right. Watching his film, he is more of a straight line kind of guy. And you can kind of mask that a little bit at safety, but maybe wide receiver isn't the wrong spot for him. So that will be an interesting thing to watch. They tend to gravitate towards these athletes that really could be used on either side of the ball. So it'll be interesting to see how they use him. He'll walk in on campus and be one of the better athletes on the team, in my opinion. So
I tend to agree. I'm glad they were able to keep him. You know, everybody kind of thought he was tied to Travis Hunter, and I'm sure there was some reality to that, and I'm sure there was some shock on his part when he found out his boy was going elsewhere, but seems to have, Maximus just kind of mentioned it in the chat, he seems to have solidified his place here, and I think maybe he's kind of embracing the opportunity to come in and be the big dog.
Yeah, he's the big dog, so as far as I'm concerned, Travis Hunter is not playing a real big boy college football next year. Sam McCall's your number one. He's your guy. So for this year, I think some focus and some attention needs to be given to this 5-star kid that decided to come to a 5-17. You know.
Yep. And he's going to be here in the spring, which is great. I mean, he's going to have a leg up. Get in here, get himself an opportunity. You know, they're going to get him in here and get a look at him. Is he a corner? Is he a safety? Is he a wide receiver? They're going to get that chance to kind of evaluate and find the right spot for him.
Man, the one thing I like on either side of the ball that you really see in him is he high points this ball every time.
He's got good ball skills.
And this also kind of looks like it's Florida State versus Florida. So
yeah.
So yeah, I mean, goes up, gets the ball. He's just athletic. He's got the straight line speed. You really don't see much film of him taken away, you know, like in routes or anything like that with quick breaks and stuff. So that'd be interesting to see. Maybe we'll see it here. So he's in zone.
Yeah, zone it up.
Okay. So, I think closing thoughts for me are he's a very talented athletic kid. I think he's a kid that, could play either side of the ball. And kind of this name might be, I think he's a slightly like quicker Travis J in his athletic build, and hopefully you can find a place for him where he excels and hopefully has a good attitude coming in and really fits in with the culture. So what do you think?
No, I tend to agree with you. I don't have necessarily a comp for him. And I have some concerns about his ability to play corner, but I think he's a young man who's athletic enough and talented enough that you're going to find a spot for him and he's going to be successful. I tend to lean with a lot of these guys, put them on offense because it's such an offensive game anymore, but
yeah,
it's just going to be nice to get him in the program, get him in the spring to develop and, you know, hopefully get him out there this fall, next fall and see what he can do.
Yeah. Totally agree. So let's go ahead and move on. So
my favorite player in this class, hopefully. We'll see.
You might want to pronounce it for me. I'm not sure if I'm
Is
comfortable
it,
with it.
I believe it's Azarier. Azarier.
I'm going to call him Thomas for now, but
I've been calling him AZ.
AZ. You guys can probably hear the highlight tape. All right, so AZ Thomas there. So this is a four-star athlete that they got that was kind of a surprise in the last little bit of the recruiting cycle. So let's take a look at his film. So what stands out about Thomas to you?
He's long, his athleticism. I mean, just a guy, another player who can kind of do both. I think he's so much more fluid than what Sam is through his hips. I talked about Sam being kind of stiff in his hips and not being necessarily fluid on some of his transitions. I think AZ is very fluid.
Man, he's long.
Yeah, very long. He's a kid. He would be an absolute number one wide receiver for me.
So
Look at that.
you'd
Look at
keep
that
him on the
stride.
offensive side of the ball.
Oh God, yes.
So if you had to do one, keep either Sam on offense.
I would put Thomas on offense and McCall on defense if I could only pick one.
Yeah, I mean, I'd be interested to see. I really like Sam's deep ball threat. He goes up against the ball. That's an important for an X receiver. The lateral agility is not as important, a la like, what's that kid out of that's playing for Seattle right now, Metcalf. So yeah, that would be interesting to see, but man, this kid is just fluidly athletic. You're totally right. This looks like the same team.
And they have intentions of playing him on offense this year.
Okay.
Norvell has stated. I mean, here's some good look at him at the corner. Look at
Yeah, him
that.
high pointing the ball. So there you go.
God. Come on. This was a huge pickup. This was a big get.
Yeah, this is a get you don't see the fan base talking about very often.
I mean, his brother is one of the best safeties in America at Georgia Tech, Wanya Thomas.
Oh, really? That's his brother. Oh, that guy's a stud.
Yeah. So
Yeah, I'll
it
take
kind of gives
anybody
you an
from that
idea.
bloodline.
It gives you an idea of what his pedigree is.
Yeah, no, that kid's the one kid you have to worry about on Georgia Tech on either side of the ball, really. Now that
Yeah.
they're losing that running back. Yeah, so fluidly athletic, really quick kid. This is a senior film, so if we're comparing him directly to Travis, he does have the advantage of a few months on him. But so here's some clips of him playing defense. If he were to play defense, do you keep him at corner or do you move him more to a safety?
I think he's more of a corner than McCall is personally, just because of how fluid he is.
Yeah, he is. And he's long. That's what a lot of people are looking for. So that might be a consideration later in his career. You know, he could be a top 15 wide receiver, but with length like that, he's got a really high ceiling as a corner as well. So would have liked to see him lay the lumber a little bit more here. But ideally at corner.
I'm going to say something stupid here, and that's fine. I can say something stupid. I'm allowed. He looks physically, just body type wise, and kind of like he looks like Jalen Ramsey to me. I'm not saying he plays like Jalen Ramsey, but he just kind of body wise, he reminds me of Jalen
Yeah,
when
just
Jalen
with
was coming out of high school. That length,
the
kind of
levers.
the height, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm not saying he's going to be Jalen. Jalen's obviously the best corner in the world, but.
And that's kind of what I was saying was he's got a probably a higher ceiling at corner than he does
I think so.
on offense. So, but for our team right now, for FSU's team right now, he is they're dying for someone like this on the outside that
Yeah.
can win these balls consistently. So, do you think he was a little underrated at a high four star, or do you think it's probably about
No,
appropriate?
probably pretty appropriate.
Fair enough. So yeah, this is a really fun kid to watch. Another one of these kids that Norvell picks up that just seems to be a dual side athlete, just like McCall. It seems like there's a trend there. He wants these kids that if they're gonna do one thing well, they do all things well. He wants football players, and he wants people that kind of just understand and know the game. So
Absolutely.
encouraging sign. I think it's one of those things that people do not talk about or give this class enough credit for, which is finding these kids and bringing in high four stars and five stars to a 5-7 team. So, Who is the last one up? Yes. Oh, how can I forget?
Mr. Legacy himself.
Yes, the only thing that let me sleep on Wednesday night last week. So Julian Armella. So he's got some, it's kind of, let's look at his junior year highlights.
To say, does he have some individual?
Yeah, he has games. Individual games, but let's go to a bigger. So he's a big boy, 6'7".
Well, he's transformed his body. I mean, he's probably down to 285, 290 now, just really, really kind of ripped up. Yeah. He's done a nice job of developing himself into more of a tackle. He's not gonna look as tackle body type in his junior clips as he does as a senior. He just shut down Shamar Stewart not long ago, and Shamar Stewart's a 5-star defensive end, likely headed to Texas A&M. So give you an idea what he is. I think he's a little overrated. I think Rivals has him something like the number 2 overall tackle in the country or something like that. I don't know, he's not that good, but he's a pretty darn good player.
So on an offensive line that struggled, so normally offensive line and defensive line are places that require at least a little bit of development before they see the field in the college ranks. You know, they need to put that size on, the functional weight. Is he the kind of kid that you see getting snaps early, or do you think he's another one of those developmental kids that you're going to see kind of really blossoming 3 or 4 years down the road?
Yeah, I think he's a guy that's going to need a red shirt and, you know, develop his body. He doesn't have the feet. Necessarily, in my opinion, to be a day one kind of player. He's not that type of athlete.
I don't know. That was pretty athletic.
What the freaking hell was that? Holy. I've coached a lot of offensive line. I've never taught that technique.
I don't know. This is pretty athletic, man. You see the defensive line.
Where's Trey at when we need him?
The defensive lineman.
Break down the Macho Man Randy Savage elbow drop.
Yeah, honestly, he's so terrified he drops to the ground.
Holy hell.
Going to else right there. Slam town.
I forgot about that play. Yeah, awesome. I think he's going to be a really, really good player. I think a year in the weight room, a year in the playbook. Is that legal? Yeah, I guess it was. I didn't see a flag come out.
He didn't hold him.
Block in the back, right? I think a year off would do him some good. But, you know, he played in a big-time program, played at St. Thomas Aquinas this year. They just won a state championship. He's bounced around a little bit, but he was back at Aquinas. I think there's a really bright future for him and a really high floor or a really high ceiling.
Man, he's fun to watch on these inside zone plays. So, inside zone, they're doubling down on this guy, and they're looking for this cutback for the running back. And you can see just how quickly he gets upfield and pins that defensive tackle and just opens up this massive cutback lane. So that's a lot on him.
I think he's more of a right tackle than a left tackle at the next level. You know, if you're talking tip prototype positions.
What makes you say that?
You know, he just doesn't have the feet, in my opinion. We'll see if that develops. But I don't think he possesses the foot speed.
Yeah, I think he does stand out amongst Alex Atkins' offensive line typical commits. So usually you see guys with really great foot speed and heavy hands, but might not have the polish. And he seems to be technically pretty sound, but doesn't quite have the speed you normally expect. But he's a big boy, so you kind of excuse the relative lack of foot speed.
Yeah, absolutely.
And maybe after he's thinned up this year, I haven't got to watch much of his senior film. Maybe he's a little bit more of the athletic type that Atkins usually.
Here, I'm going to send you Jalen Early's. Now, it's just games. It's not just one highlight tape. We've looked at Armella here. Let's look at like one of Armella's recent games that he has posted, if we can, from his senior.
Yeah. Hold on, let me get there. So we did a individual breakdown for Jalen early, but I don't think it would hurt to.
Well, I'd like to look at our Mello and compare the two because I think that Early's got a higher ceiling than our Mello does.
Oh, really? All right, so this is one of the more modern games. Oh, good job. So he's left tackle here. Got the edge rush. So he does a good job getting out there, and he kind of gets off balance a little bit, but he does
But
his job.
you can see he lacks that speed, in my opinion. He lacks that speed to be able to get into his drop. Having to go so wide like that's not necessarily ideal.
Right.
And that kid's trying to run around him, but
Ideally, you drop back and you let this guy run a circle instead of lunging, and it does seem a little bit like he's trying to catch him before he can beat him around the edge. Okay, so I don't know why this film is all in slow motion, but it is. Okay, so left tackle here at the bottom of the screen. Let's watch. So gets downfield. Solid block. I don't think I can complain much about that. Yeah, he's I think as early as big as him. I mean, 6'7" is a pretty big dude.
No, he's not. No, he's not quite as big and long.
Right, so
Early, I think, is a better athlete.
right, that's kind of what I was saying about Armella, is he just doesn't stand out as quite the athlete as early, but he might have more NFL measurables, to be honest.
Yeah, I don't disagree.
But we're not in the business of NFL, we're in the business of college football.
One thing Julian will do is move you. He doesn't
Yeah.
mind. He does not mind getting involved in the run game.
Yeah, I see that. No, that's what I was saying earlier. I really like him in the backside of that inside zone. So he's got some talent. Whether or not he's got the high end to be an elite pass blocker is still to be determined. So let's watch a game of Jalen Early. So hopping in here. He's a left
Guys,
tackle here.
yeah, make sure hit the like button, guys. Got 110 people in here, 19 likes, 20 likes. Smash that like button if you don't mind.
Yeah, like and subscribe. It
Make sure you're
doesn't cost you
subscribed.
anything. All right.
Dupree, we're not trying to be critical of him. We're just trying to point out strengths and weaknesses here. That's all. We know that no prospect is perfect.
Let's see. That wasn't really.
Sometimes these things are hard to tell whether they're going to be any good or not.
Yeah, the individual game stuff is he left tackle here?
I
Yeah.
believe he's, yeah.
I think he's 53. Yeah, he's
See,
just a little bit more fluid in space.
I think he's just more athletic.
But I think that naturally comes with a guy that's a few inches shorter. So we'll see. Armella definitely has the length and the levers that you want in a pass setter, but it's really nice to have that speed and the fluidity.
It's nice to have a couple true offensive tackles in your program again, and that's not even talking about Daughtry Richardson, who's going to be a project, but is a true tackle type prospect for the long term. It's great what Alex Atkins has been able to go out and do with the offensive line recruiting and kind of get that room righted with all the things that all the negative that kind of surrounded last Wednesday and Thursday to some degree. What he was able to do with the offensive line class really kind of saved the day in some regards for me.
Yeah, so the offensive line class is insane for this team. Alex Atkins pulled a rabbit out of his hat. So enjoy the time that that guy is a part of the staff, because he is a special one. So
He's going to be a head coach sooner rather than later, that's for sure.
and yeah, we're pointing out flaws of these kids, but ultimately they're about as good as offensive linemen as you've seen come in as FSU football players in a while. So, really exciting stuff. So,
Yeah, absolutely.
okay. So I don't have anybody else to go over with film. Do you?
No, I don't think so. I think
Okay.
it's now's an opportunity to kind of just get into the weeds and have some conversation about what's going on here.
Yeah. So Tell me your perspective on kind of how NIL is affecting Florida State, how we stand in this environment, kind of the feel you're getting from your sources.
So NIL, I mean, Florida State, they were hindered by the state of Florida, you know, with the coaching staff really couldn't be the ones that were promoting it. And they couldn't really, the school itself couldn't really be the ones that were, I believe that's how it was written anyway. I could be wrong about this. I'm kind of dumb on some of this stuff. So I do let some of the more intelligent people that kind of have their hands in this stuff talk about it a little bit deeper, but I'm going to give my thoughts. So the staff couldn't really promote NIL, from my understanding. They couldn't really be involved in it. There were some third parties and stuff like that that could kind of say, hey, we're going to be able to do this for you. I mean, I know they were competitive to some degree with a few kids, but you know, when the Georgias of the world start getting involved, you start talking about, you know, you saw Bryce Young, Heisman winning quarterback, had a $1 million deal on the table. Quinn Ewers, who went to Ohio State early, reclassified this year, went up there early. He had a $1 million offer on the table for NIL that was tied to playing time and that kind of stuff, which is one of the reasons why he's now back in Texas, going to enroll at Texas. So Florida State, sadly, I don't think structurally, administrative-wise, that they were set up to compete with what some of the big guys are doing out there. I don't think there's enough commitment and enough foresight and all those fancy words for Florida State to be able to go out and be competitive in this environment that kind of exists in college football today.
So
that doesn't mean that they can't get there. Hopefully with Michael Alford playing a bigger role that will change, but right now they're not there, and that's a problem.
So NIL, just for those of you that are unaware of college football, kind of what's happening. So it's a recent rule change in college football where players can profit off their name, image, likeness. That's what NIL stands for. And so a lot of these schools that have older booster bases, older alumni bases, longer established programs may naturally have a leg up. In addition, Florida State didn't seem fully prepared for this rule change, and that's kind of what AB's alluding to, is that basically the Wild West was instituted in college football with no regulation, and it seems like there may be a potential lack of true investment in some parts of the program.
True investment's been a problem for a while now. I mean, it's been an issue. I mean, it is. Yeah, Jimbo talked about it. And Jimbo had his own issues. That's a whole nother can of worms, obviously. But, yeah, I mean, Jimbo was concerned about the commitment of this program to succeed at the highest rate. This is a young football program, a younger alumni base, without some of the billionaire donors that some of these schools are throwing out there. I mean, you hear about things in Miami, some of Mario Cristobal's billionaire friends that are kind of funding that program right now. Florida State doesn't have that, and it is an issue, but I think it's one they can overcome, but it's one that leadership's got to kind of embrace and say, we're going to find ways to get this done. We're going to commit the resources and allocate people to getting this job done. I think, you know, they took a step in the right direction with naming Michael Alford the athletic director. But they've got some house cleaning that they need to do with some of the good old boy network in that athletic department specifically before they're, I think that they're going to be able to take a step really kind of back into relevance. So we're going to see whether that gets done or not. That's a big deal for me. I'm paying a lot of attention to kind of some of the off-field moves that get made this year. I know a lot of people are going to point to Ron Dugans and when's he getting fired and all that stuff. That really has less – I'm really paying a lot less attention to that and more attention to some of the recruiting room moves that need to get made. There's some guys in there that need to lose their job. I know Bud Elliott certainly talked about it. I talked about it on the 24/7 live stream during signing day. There's guys in there that spend way more time trying to make sure people think that they're doing a really good job and that people have interest in them in the SEC than they do actually doing their job. So it's a problem. It's one that's got to get fixed. If it doesn't get fixed, then we're going to kind of stay where we are.
Yeah. So, and by stay where you are, I assume you mean not stay at 5-7, but, kind of reach a ceiling, before we would like to reach. I think it's pretty clear that this is not a 5-7 program, after they get over this. So Coach AB disappeared. But I'll kind of give my take on it, while AB's gone. So Florida State doesn't look to be prepared to play with the big dogs, as AB was implying. And by big dogs, he means top five, top 10. So your Texas A&M's, Alabama's, Georgia's.
Yeah, I'm not going to include Jackson State in the look. That Travis Hunter stuff is a whole other can of worms. That was...
You just had a freak occurrence happen against you. I don't see that as an indictment on
that was people person. At Deion Sanders trying to boost Deion Sanders up to make him seem like he's some legit football coach.
I'm going to withhold my opinion on Deion Sanders because I don't want to invite.
Look what just happened. He had a more talented team than what was it, South Carolina State, and they got the doors blown off. That guy's going to get somebody some sanctions, and it is what it is.
Georgia Ron, no one cares if you're a Power 5 recruiter. These 18-year-old kids don't care if you were at Alabama 10 years ago. They care about what money comes through the door. And if they're better funding, raising funds than Mike Norvell and getting those funds to the correct people, then it's getting to a point where you got to just learn to play the game. I don't know. I think you have a chance to out-recruit those guys, but they definitely have the experience to walk in and know what an SEC team is like from the inside. And so that is definitely an advantage, but
I think Mike can recruit. I think he is very organized and very forward thinking on ways to establish relationships with kids. I think he's got to get some better people surrounding him. I think he's got to get some more resources in the recruiting room. I think and better people kind of on his staff that are do a better job of reading the room and connecting to people. I think that's a must for them to take a next step in recruiting. But again, I mean, you had the 13th ranked class. There's holes, there's problems. I don't think that they did a good enough job with their board, wide receiver being a big issue, defensive linebacker. End. I don't think they had enough backup options at defensive end, at wide receiver, and a linebacker. I think you began the process of fixing the linebacker issue. I do think Randy Shannon's an upgrade. I think you could have upgraded more, but I'm okay with Randy Shannon coming in because I think that I do think he has some South Florida ties. I don't think they're as good as people maybe have been giving me credit for. But I do think he works really well with Adam Fuller. And I think that's important for the defense to continue to kind of grow. I think Dugans has got to go. I don't think that they've shown any progress on the field. I don't think you've recruited well off the field. He had issues at Miami with guys being able to catch the football. We've seen that at Florida State. I don't think him staying is a good thing for Florida State. I think that you're probably going to see him trying to find opportunities for another job, and he's out of his contract January 31st if he can't. So I know everybody's very impatient. We want to get rid of him now. We've got to get rid of him now. I think it's okay if he's here through January 31st. I don't think it's the end of the world.
Yeah. If they plan on getting rid of him, you have to understand they're vetting options. They're not just sitting with their hands on their, sitting on their hands and saying, I don't know what to do. Cause what if he does, if he's gone, he's gone, and they know kind of where they're going to go to try to replace him. So, message retracted. So
I don't think I'm not sure Peter Wark's the answer. I don't know what kind of coaching resume he's got. I know people love to throw the former players out there. A lot of times former players aren't the answer. I think you could do better than Peter Work at wide receiver coach personally.
I mean, let's separate this idea that just because you did something means that you're good at coaching it or teaching it. The best coach to ever coach football, in my opinion, played lacrosse in college. So, you know, take that for what it's worth. So that's not to say that because you played, you can't be a good coach, but I care way more about your coaching resume than your playing resume when it comes to that particular position. So I think it really depends on what your ideal for this program is. So I grew up in a time, the first season I remember is 2001. So I've never lived in a world where I've never remembered a world where Florida State is consistently elite. So getting back to that would be something that would be nice to see. I just need Florida State to be consistently competing for ACC titles before I talk about beating Georgia and recruiting consistently. We're just not there. And I think for a 5-7 season, I'm stoked with this recruiting class. I think this is a really solid recruiting class. I'm disappointed with the lack of addressing needs. I think you killed the offensive line, which is great. That room's been rebuilding for the past couple of years and might actually be a strength a year or two from now. It might be a strength this year if you get a good transfer in at tackle, but it's just one of those things where you didn't get linebackers, you didn't get wide receivers, and that's going to hurt you down the line. You can't consistently replace those players with transfers and be okay. You need some sort of base to build off of, even if it's just a floor. So in the past 20 years, no other top program has kept a coach employed who lost to an FCS school, then closes. Is the GOAT Nick Saban, who lost to a Sun Belt team? I don't know what that means.
Yeah, I mean, look, I just kind of adding on to what you're saying. I think that the idea that we're going to get back to the 90s, which is what I think everybody kind of goes back to when they think about this football program, is, I mean, those times are dead, in my opinion. The state of Florida is so much better recruited now throughout the country than it was back then because of huddle and bag men and handlers and all this nonsense that, I think it's silly to think that you're going to go back to that. So many of these other teams are so much more talented. I mean, just look at Wake Forest. Year in, year out, they're a competitive football team, whereas they used to just kind of be a laughing stock back in those days. So I think it's silly to think that they would ever be able to get back to that level of dominance. I mean, Alabama's there because Alabama's got more money than just about anybody. Georgia's throwing more money at their football program than anybody is right now. It's not even close. That's why those teams are there, and that's why Florida State's not going to be there, because they don't have that kind of stupid money that they can just throw at these things. I think they can compete financially. They've got to decide that they're going to. They've got to make that commitment that they want to get good again. And I think that that's where it's got to start and stop. Go Canes. Oh, the hell with the Canes, man. You down, baby. We beat your ass this year.
So Mel Tucker is killing it in the portal 2 years straight. Yes. And Manny Diaz did well on the portal as well. And so the portal is something that you can use as a tool and should use as a tool, and the smart ones are using it as a tool. I think Mel Tucker's a little bit of fool's gold. Whether or not that success is sustainable, I hope for his sake it is. But I think that you still need to be able to fill, at least have a floor developed with high school talent. Mm-hmm. And then you fill in the holes to push yourself one step forward with transfers. You don't build a roster off transfers.
Right.
You can't build a culture off transfers. These kids are there for a year. Maybe two. But yes, you'd be blind and dumb to decide that transfers are not something you want to partake in.
Yeah, absolutely. They're a good way to fill needs, but they're not a good way to build a program. And you know, you've got to, you know, like you talked about culture. Culture is a big deal with winning. You can't have these renegade. You can't do these renegade programs where you just bring in 11 new starters every year from the portal. That's just not going to keep you successful. They've got to up the ante in high school recruiting, and they've got to find a way to start winning some more of these battles and kind of being able to read the room a little bit better. And I think some of that's just going to come from increased resources in the recruiting off-field room and some better staff on the coaching staff that kind of know what recruiting is. I think Tony Tokars is a guy that's going to step in for you at quarterback, and I think he's an upgrade coaching wise over Kenny Dillingham. I think he's a better technical quarterback coach than Kenny was.
What makes you say that? Because he was a tight end coach at Memphis.
Yeah, but he's been groomed as a quarterback guy here. I just know some people that know him, and I know some people that have coached with Kenny and know Kenny, and there's some folks that think that Tony was kind of the brains of that operation. So we'll see. I could be wrong. They could be wrong also. But I don't know that Tony's going to be as good a recruiter as Kenny was. But I do think Tony, I know that there's people that think highly of Tony and his potential as a recruiter, but we'll see what he turns into. But you really need to get to move on from Ron and get more. And you need Coach Yak to give you more. You know, he brought in one running back this year. The Louisiana ties haven't really paid off. I haven't really understood that strategy. I also
think ties are overrated. I mean, Napier's a Louisiana guy, right?
Yeah.
I don't think anybody's going to be too worried that he's a Louisiana guy recruiting in Florida. Good recruiters make new ties.
I tend to agree.
So we've kind of brought up multiple points, and this is kind of a question I have as someone that likes the football side of football more than the recruiting side of football. You've mentioned that you feel like the recruiting staff is lackluster, and even position coaches on the staff might be falling behind a little bit. But you've also mentioned a lack of commitment. So if you had to give a percentage of what percentage is lack of commitment, what percentage is lack of ability or effort on the coaching staff, what would you give it?
That's tough. That's a tough answer because they really all just kind of play so hand in hand. So Broderick asked, the product on the field has to affect our recruiting, right? Yes, 100%. Product on the field impacts the.
That's why I want to take everything here with a grain of salt. We're two people that follow Florida State and hope for its success, and just like you guys, but we're also. Everything we're saying here is a grain of salt. We went 5-7, are ending with a top 15 recruiting class. I think that is a testament to some people on the coaching staff's ability to plan, to make relationships, and some potential that you might see in them in the future. I am continually impressed with some people on this coaching staff, and I think that there is a lot of potential if you back this staff in a timely manner. However, top 12 is not going to be good enough for the expectations placed on this program in the long term.
All right. So I've been sitting here thinking about your question. So like, I know I have a pretty decent idea of what kind of NIL package Marvin Jones Jr. is getting. And I don't think Florida State could compete with that. I think Florida State would have landed him if they could. Nigel Kelly, I don't think Florida State could compete NIL-wise. But Miami could, yes. I think that Miami's very committed right now.
I think as soon as Cristobal steps out with 7 wins first year, they're going to be much less committed.
I'm not saying whether I agree or disagree. I'm just stating right now, I think that you lost that because of – I think you lost it because Cristobal had the best relationship with him, but I also think you lost it because ultimately I don't think you were able to compete.
No one in Miami got injured.
I think that Travis Hunter is a Seminole if you can compete. I was told he let somebody on the staff know this is life changing. I can't pass this up. Whether that's true or not, I don't know. You know, you know how these things go. You know, Deion says there's nothing there and he ain't paying no players and yada, yada, yada. So, you know, all this stuff is a grain of salt, like you said. I think that ultimately NIL was a really, really big deal with this National Signing Day. There's a reason you saw Texas A&M, Georgia, Alabama have the success that they did. And it's not because they're the nicest guys.
It took the shady stuff happening below ground and it's just mm-hmm. put it on the surface.
And Jimbo said that out loud and he was 110% right. They're just paying to play.
So I think this is to summarize why I think some people might be upset with this top 12 recruiting class or wherever it sits right now, despite the fact that it's far outseeding what we should be expecting from this season. And I think the crux of the argument is that we had chances with kids that we didn't pull in, that we probably wouldn't have pulled in even if we had won 11 games this year. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, you're losing Travis. You win 11 games this year, you lose Travis Hunter.
Maybe. I don't know if that's 100% true. Maybe he feels – I think yes to Travis Hunter. I think you get Marvin Jones Jr. if you win 11 games. I don't think that all those things are true. I do think that there's some kids that didn't come – I think there's some kids that would have felt better about the potential of your program had you won 11 games. There's other kids that are chasing the bag. I mean, it is what it is.
Okay. So it seems like a lot of people, the upset people, the people like yourself who kind of don't feel super optimistic about what's happened over this past week is you've kind of seen a ceiling potentially to where this mm-hmm. program is at. Beyond the 5-7 recruiting class, whatever. I'm kind of the opinion that I want to see a top 15 Florida State team. If you can continually bring in top 15, top 10 recruiting classes and get us to top 15, I think you see a lot more commitment from this fan base. You see it at games. When Florida State has something, just anything go right for them, this fan base is so hungry. Mm-hmm. to be successful again. I think that the commitment from the fan base would increase our recruiting prowess as much as anything.
Here's my issue with that statement. I think you're 100%, 110% right. You've seen the commitment. Look at Notre Dame. Look at the Miami game. You've seen this fan base answer the bell time and time again. When there's something to hope for with this football program, well, why the hell can't the university get out of the way and get it right and continue to push those boundaries? There's no reason that you can't be fully committed for this football program and this fan base that keeps giving back to you every chance you get. The major booster push that's going on in this fan base over this last year has been huge and gotten them back to kind of respectable ranks. Where they were earlier, you know, back in the early teens. It really is bullshit, in my opinion, if the university doesn't step up and say we're going to commit the resources needed. And I'm not saying whether they are or I don't know whether they're going to. I wish I did. I'm like everybody in this chat right now that wants to have that hope that they're going to show that the admin's going to show up and do what they need to do to make sure this program gets back to where it needs to be. I don't know, but they owe that to this fan base, in my opinion.
Yeah, I think I totally agree. They owe it to this town. I've lived here for now 3 years, so this town is dependent on this football team in a real way. So I think Florida State set themselves up to take a step forward next year. I think depending on how the transfer portal plays out, I think you need another wide receiver. I think you need a linebacker.
You need two defensive ends.
And you need two defensive ends. If you're able to get those, you take a step forward. And I think you make a bowl game and you don't worry about it.
Yeah.
But that's the danger of living off the portal. You got to have a kid that leaves this school and shows up at the right time. The only The only thing that I will say is that this is one of those years that becomes a defining year in Norvell's tenure, right?
Yeah.
Now he's got majority kids on his team. Do you take a step forward? Do you continue building the identity you had last year? Do you beat these rivals that should be in rebuilding years?
Right.
Because that's important. And so Manny Diaz got fired because he wasn't able to win. He wasn't able to continue to rebuild off the portal in a significant way. As soon as he lost Jalen Phillips, he had no answer at defensive end. He wasn't able to bring in a new kid in the portal that had nearly the impact. And you saw their team kind of wither. They lost to a rebuilding Florida State, and that got him fired. So this year could go the way of Manny Diaz for Mike Norvell. I'd hate it for him and for the program, but that's a real risk you're taking because you weren't able to find that or hold on to that defensive end.
Yeah. I'm seeing some talk about the football-only facility in here. I don't think that taking the money from that football-only facility is the answer, guys. I think that you need to get that thing built. You know, fortunately, you've got pledges for that. So those are going to go in up front. You know, the money for that's going to go in up front, and then that's going to be done with. And then those people, hopefully those boosters that are hopefully are sticking around and wanting to continue to support the program, are going to take money and then start putting that into NIL or putting that in back into the program in other ways. So once it gets started, and I think that the plan is for it to get started here at the end of, or after this next season, then we'll see some of that money be able to start to go back into the football program in other ways. But I don't think taking money from that and putting it in NIL is the answer. You need to be able to do both. That's just the reality. You need to be able to do all things, not just one or the other. If you can only do one or the other at one time, you're kind of screwed, in my opinion.
All right. So can I address this?
I'm trying to go through chat here. Yeah, go ahead.
King Mac, 2022 looking like 4-8 if they do not replace Jermaine and Kier with studs. I disagree. I disagree with that pretty strongly. I think you're watching too much ESPN. One player out of 22 does not a team make. This team will be better in almost every part of the field next year than they were last year.
Yeah.
Losing, I think you're going to be able to somewhat replace Akir Thomas if you're able to hold on to Lovett, and I think Cooper's coming back definitely, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah, Cooper's already announced.
So if you're able to hold on to Lovett and kind of shore up the interior defensive line, I think Akir Thomas is a guy that you're not necessarily able to replace easily, but the drop-off isn't as severe. You are going to be missing a significant pass rusher, and that's huge for the defense. However, I think your linebacker core, even without a transfer, is going to be improved as Lundy and Deloach get more snaps in the system. I think that your secondary is going to be better next year than it is this year. I think that offensively, you're going to be better in almost every aspect of the game. So, you know, maybe your defense takes a step back, but I think your offense improves. I don't think you're any worse next year.
Your special teams are going to improve.
If you're unable to replace, I don't think this team goes 4-8 next year.
Yeah, I would have a hard, I'd have a hard time projecting that right now. But all right, there's a few questions here. Do you think Norvell will take over the play calling initially? No, I think Alex Atkins is going to be the play caller. I think Mike Norvell is always going to be involved, though. I don't think there's any major difference schematically, and we can. I know Kev's planning on talking about this a little bit more.
Atkins
at another date. Yeah, I don't want to give too much away. I don't want to go to the. Yeah.
What a Dillingham. How much of the offense is Dillingham's? We'll get to see right next year. I'm actually going to watch a lot of Oregon just out of curiosity's sake.
I agree. If it's going the right direction by fixing the offensive line, yeah, I think fixing the O-line is a big deal. Don't understand why we didn't take a quality transfer quarterback from Georgia run. We're like a week and a half into the portal, really. So I'm not sold that they're not going to take a quality transfer quarterback, but I don't think they're going to take a quarterback that's a starter. I think that they fully intend on Jordan Travis being your starter, and I think they're going to want to maybe bring in a depth guy to back him up in case he gets hurt. But I thought Jordan made a lot of strides at the end of the year. I don't see a reason why he can't run your passing offense. I know that people are down on that idea. Maybe I'm crazy, but I thought he made a lot of growth as a thrower at the end of the year. And the last two games, I mean, they really kind of asked him to just drop back and throw the football. And I thought he did all right. Again, I'm nuts. I know Broderick's booing me here, but
you had a top 30 quarterback on a top 60 team, and we're complaining about the top 30 quarterback. That seems odd to me.
I don't think he's the problem, personally. I think you got to get the wide receivers fixed, and you got to get this O-line right. And yeah, I think you'll be okay. I think he can go out there and do it for you, but I do need somebody in there that can step in for him when he gets hurt.
Yeah, that's the concern.
The potential he gets hurt is high. It always is. Atkins or Norvell calling plays. I think it's going to be Atkins, and I think Atkins is going to be on the sideline calling plays, and I don't think it's a big deal. Why can't we get more out of Gaynor? Because he's just not that talented, in my opinion. I don't think football's natural for him.
I think he's stiff in the hips, which makes him less than capable. He's definitely capable. You can put him there, but he's stiff in the hips, and he doesn't seem to want to fill his gaps more than he wants to fill everybody else's. So that's the concern you have with Gaynor. If he's able to read gap assignments better in the future, then he's got a higher ceiling than how he's currently playing. But I think his lateral mobility limits his ability at linebacker. If he wants to step in at Fox, I think he has a significantly higher ceiling as a football player.
Yep, I agree. DJ Lundy also the same. I'd love to see him at Fox. Who's left in the portal? It should be at the top of the two. The Maximus, the portal is booming. It's not going to stop booming anytime soon. And then you're going to have another wave post-spring. The portal is here for a while. They didn't even land Gibbons till after the spring last year, and he was your best offensive lineman this year. So I would just be patient with the portal. There's not a need to be in a big rush.
Yeah, I mean, when you rush, you just pick up kids that...
What do you think record will be for 2022 season? I have no clue because I don't even know what the roster is going to look like yet.
Yeah, we'll see how the transfer portal addresses some needs before we can make that prediction.
There's a lot of big-time quarterbacks coming back that they got to play. That's a problem.
It is.
Do y'all see Travis Hunter coming back after a year at Jackson State? Not that I'm aware of. It'd be great, but...
I would be surprised if he spends all 3 years at Jackson State.
I would too.
But I would also be surprised if we were able to be the highest bidder after he spends his set amount of time in the state of Mississippi.
Ron, I know that I know Josh Newberg was reporting that they passed on the Johnson brothers. I don't think that that's accurate totally from what I've heard. And I would never say that Josh isn't telling the truth or anything like that, because Josh is obviously one of the best in the business, in my opinion. And we have our show has a great relationship with those guys and with Josh. I had heard some stuff that they thought that Jake Johnson maybe was going to visit that weekend prior to early signing day, and they did kind of try. I just don't think it really went anywhere for him.
So
I don't think they wanted Max, though. I don't think they did.
Panama Jack, let me address this, because I know you're just kind of trying to troll, but backwards thinking to me is giving a head coach a 1 year verbal extension after coming off a 5-7 season team and losing to an FCS team at home. Backwards thinking. Okay, so the 5-7, the comparisons to Willie Taggart, it's all fair. If you see the world as black and white, if you want to look at records and say that all things are the same because the record's the same, that is certainly one way you can view the world. All I can ask for Florida State's head coach is that he makes changes that he needs to make. He improves the team and he improves himself. I think he's done two of those things already this season. I saw at the beginning of the season a coach that made the mistake of not preparing for the Jacksonville State game, and the same coach prepared for UMass with a lot more vigor, and you saw a dramatically different outcome. So you have a guy that's willing to change and willing to learn and improve, so that's a positive. That is not, believe it or not, that is not a trait you see often in college football coaches. their egos often get so large that they're not willing to change. You saw that with Dan Mullen not changing his staff when it was evident that his defensive coordinator was not doing him any favors. If you have a guy that seems to have a plan, learns and grows, then that's all I can ask for right now. I think he's going to be able to get us at least back to being competitive in the next couple of years, and that's all I can ask. Whether he's the guy or not, I don't know, but I know that firing him and hiring someone else isn't going to help out your program. Taggart didn't beat Miami. Norvell being out-recruited by Mario. He's not being out-recruited by Mario.
Miami. Hey, Miami fans, make sure you're at least liking the video and subbing, yeah, please. Thank you.
A troll better, please.
Yeah. I mean, good job coming to troll when we, you know, the guy you're making fun of beat you guys this year.
So. Yeah, I mean.
And then turning it into thank you because we got our head coach fired. I love that one, too.
We've seen our fair four-star transition class players. Have fun. So,
yeah. Do you think the staff really, Coach Yak, will go after any LSU wideouts in the portal? I couldn't tell you, man. I don't always understand their process with the portal. But, look, those guys are in the portal a lot of times for a reason. So you have to remember that. Thank you, New King God.
Yeah.
We try our best.
Thanks, buddy.
But we did beat you. It says Florida State versus Miami, 4th and 14. Y'all couldn't stop that. So what do you think of Dugan? Should we replace him? Yes, 100%.
Yep.
I don't think there's any reason to keep
him. Yeah, we've been kind of saying that since the preseason.
Dude, what
y'all are just now getting on our level about the fire Dugan.
Yeah. If you don't believe in Coach Norvell, stop watching what he does. I was rooting for Taggart when he was here, and I'm rooting for Coach Norvell. Well said, Mike.
Thank you.
Mike always in the house.
Yeah, I mean, cheer for your guy, right? He's our guy. As long as he's here, you have no say of whether he's here or not. You can be upset.
Here's a good one, Kev. This is one that I think is right up your alley. Georgia Ron, the staff pisses me off sometimes. Why not pursue Max? 27 touchdowns and 6 interceptions. Why is Max Johnson not better than Jordan Travis, Kev?
Oh, is that their question?
No, I'm asking you that question.
Why is he not better than Jordan Travis? Mm-hmm. He might be better than Jordan Travis.
You think he is? I thought you were a Jordan guy. I thought you were anti-Max.
I think they're both top 30 quarterbacks. Yeah. I just think Max has no one to throw it to. So it's like...
You think Jordan has no one to throw it to?
I think neither of them have anybody to throw it to. I mean, Pittman's...
Really? Max had 5-star wide receivers.
Oh, yeah. I'm saying, like, if Max were to come here... It would be like, I don't know. There's a great analogy out there. So
yeah. All right. George Aron, Slovis is not coming to Florida State. He's got much better options. So, like, it's great to throw that name out there. I'd love to see him come to Florida State. He's not. I mean, he's going to go to Notre Dame or he's going to go somewhere that is a playoff contender. He's just not coming to Florida State. Is what it is. So, I mean, sometimes when these guys enter the portal, like, it's great to say, oh, man, we're going to get that guy. Sometimes you're just not in the ball game. They called the Diabati kid coming out of Florida. It's a linebacker who'd be a massive upgrade for them. And he told him, no thanks. I don't want to play for you. So that's how this shit works sometimes.
There's no guarantee that, I mean, they're probably reaching out. You know, you never know. But, hey, Slovis, you want to come to a 5-7 team with a shoddy offensive line and no receivers?
Yeah. No. Who will we replace Dugans with? I know everybody's all over the Pitt guy. Looks like maybe he's going to go to Texas. I think I saw he got offered. I don't know. I don't know who they're going to replace with. I'm sure as this process kind of plays itself along here, I'll have an idea. And if I can say it, I will. I don't know if that's going to be possible or not. We'll see. Jake Plummer, Arizona guy with Norvell. Yeah, I've seen his name thrown around. I'm remaining patient at quarterback. I don't think there is a dire need to go add somebody there. I know there's a portion of this fan base that thinks we have to replace Jordan Travis, and that's fine. You're more than welcome to that opinion. I'm not trying to change your mind on that. I personally am okay with Jordan as a starter, and I personally would be very patient and find the right backup for him for this upcoming season.
Yeah, so yeah, I'm way more worried about getting a defensive end, linebacker, tackle.
Yeah.
I think those dramatically change your team's outlook more than a quarterback would. But you know, I if you want to pin your hopes on getting a top end quarterback commit, then transfer, then all things for you. I don't think you're gonna find one. Those kids aren't gonna come to Florida State.
The wide receiver Watkins, I think Jordan Watkins, out of Louisville, decides this week, it looks like. He has not visited Florida State, so I would expect he's probably going elsewhere. Pittman is a punt return guy. I don't think he returns kicks, but he may. I'm not 100% sure on that. Trying to go through some of this. Travis J. I can see Travis J going receiver. We'll see. I don't think he's got great ball skills, which worries me about him becoming a wide receiver, but you never know.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't be upset at it. You know, he's got a athleticism and a frame. He's a kid that I said preseason that I thought has all the athleticism in the world. He just doesn't have a natural position on defense. So, hopefully things iron out for him and he can find a spot. Y'all don't think the Virginia Tech transfer quarterback would be a good backup for y'all? Good enough to push Travis, but not really a threat. Sure. I think that's exactly the kind of kid that you'll probably end up with. If I were to guess, I think Norvell knows that this next year is kind of a prove it year in a way. Like, can you get to a bowl? Can you show more improvement? Can you get us into that top 40-ish range on advanced metrics? And taking a risk on a kid that's already flamed out at another school as your quarterback is generally not what you want to do if you have a year where you need to just prove something. You need to win some football games. But yeah, I mean, sure. If you can, like, if a top 10 quarterback goes in the portal and you can pick him up. I mean, no one's saying otherwise.
Logan seems like FSU's best shot at landing transfer studs is like how it was with Jermaine Johnson. I think they got a really shot at the Verse kid. I think he's a stud, and I think they got a good shot at him. We'll see if they can get the job done. The schedule's weak. We has to win. At least the schedule's not weak next year.
It
Have you
is
seen the quarterbacks they play?
like the quintessential ACC schedule where you have like 10 teams that aren't automatic wins or automatic losses, but they're like there. They're just solid teams that are just annoying to have to play.
I agree.
Yeah, none of the ACC quarterbacks decided to go pro for whatever reason this year. I think Sam Howell decided to go pro, right? Which,
But you don't play North Carolina, so
right,
you don't
the
know
one we get the 2 years of Sam Howell, I guess. Luckily we went 2-0, but I don't think that had anything to do with Sam Howell. If y'all don't make a bowl, how would you feel about Norvell? Does he get another year? Probably not.
I don't think he's getting fired in 2023. I don't
Yeah.
think if you don't make a bowl this upcoming year, I think 2023's
You got
a
it.
lame. I think he's a lame duck unless something a miracle, unless he pulls a miracle out of his hat.
I don't see
Then he's going.
FSU Nebraska-ing this thing for forever and letting him draw it out. 2022 schedule's weak. I don't know how you make that conclusion. We don't even know what these teams look like.
Yeah, we
This
just know
transfer
nothing about
portal
these.
is insane, you know, like.
What does a good season look like for Norvell next year? I think 8 wins right now. Right now, where I'm at is 8 wins. 7 or 8 wins is a good season for him next year. You
Yeah,
need to win. You got to win. I think you need to win a bowl. You need to make a bowl game. Maybe that's the best way for me to put it.
7, 8 wins pre-bowl would be great. I think I'm like 6 wins and you slide into a bowl. Sure, but you know, if you can come out with 7 or 8 wins and then potentially win a bowl game, you know, you're looking good. You're looking like I just more than anything. And I suggest you guys do this the same way because it's going to be the only way you can stay sane despite the craziness of college football. Try to see if they're improving in the advanced metrics. And I think Brendan Sinone's done a great job of tweeting out a lot of these things to kind of keep the fan base up. But you just need to improve, right? At the end of the day, wins and losses are one thing, but is this coach getting the team better? Because if he's not, that's when you need to cut ties.
Yeah. Is it Dugan's not coaching the wide receivers how to separate on routes, or our O-line not holding up in pass protection, or our quarterback not getting running of the ball? I'm puzzled who to blame for wide it's a talent issue at wide receiver, in my opinion. Then it's a coaching issue. I don't think Dugan's teaches them how to run routes really very well.
But also at the amount of time that Dugan's has been here, it's his fault for not addressing the talent issue.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I agree. It's just not a very talented room, ultimately.
Yeah, I think I agree with you. I think you have some kids that are quick and could potentially thrive if they had some other really top-notch talent around them. I'm talking about like Helton and Wilson, but I think that on their own, they're not capable of holding up a whole wide receiver room on their own. So
agreed. Khalil, did you guys catch Mortimer's comments on this decommitment? He said the offense ran too much, basically. Yeah, and I thought that was comical because Louisville's in some like dynamic passing attack.
Like, Louisville's like the closest analog to us you could find in the ACC currently.
That was the dumbest thing I've ever seen. That was a perfect example of Ryan Bartow, in my opinion.
Oh, nope, saying names.
And Ron Dugan's not doing a good enough job of defeating the BS negative recruitment that was going on there. So those are a couple guys I thought had the best relationships with that kid, and I think they did a piss poor job. You guys know how I feel about Norvell. Not sold on him, but I do think he can develop players. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I said it last year that I thought Mike was going to be a guy that came in here for like 4 years and got the talent of the program kind of stabilized and back up, and then was going to go off somewhere else, and somebody else was going to come in here and kind of follow it up and take it to the next step. I don't feel necessarily different about that statement, especially after this signing day. We're going to ultimately find out, though. I mean,
it's been 3 years, hasn't it?
No, it's been two seasons. It's only been 18 years.
Two seasons, yeah.
Yeah.
COVID was a long time.
Yep. So we're going to see. I think ultimately it's what freaking commitment are you going to get from this administration? Because I think that plays a much bigger factor than people have wanted to discuss for a while. I think there's a reason you've seen a very winning head coach start to fall apart. Some of that's on him and his off-field mess. Then you saw Willie come in and be an absolute mess, and you're seeing a mess with Mike Norvell. There's a reason for that, and it's not all on those guys.
Yeah, I remember sitting in the stands watching Willie's final game, I believe, right? He got fired after the Miami game. Mm-hmm. I remember watching that game and thinking, these fans are blind if they're seeing that Willie is the only problem with this program right now.
Yeah, absolutely.
There are bigger holes that need to be filled on the roster, in the front offices, everywhere. I think Norvell has shown the organization to potentially pull some of that up around him. But it's yet to be seen if he doesn't get the support, you can't compete with Florida and Miami trying to go all out. Nope. If you just have one head coach that's trying to hold up a program.
Yep. So Michael Alford, if you're watching, and you probably don't watch us, even though we were in the FSU football Twitter little.
Yeah, we were.
Player thing that they did, which was great. Kev's voice was in there. I thought I heard myself. I'm not sure. But Michael Alford, if you're watching, challenge is laid at your feet, sir. Bring this football program back to prominence. Show the commitment that we need to be great again, please.
Yep.
You've got 185 people in here right now, and Kev and I begging you to get the job done.
If Florida State can make it to a bowl and get a top 10 recruiting class next year, I think that's you got to be happy with that improvement.
The narrative, okay, from Broderick, Coach AB, that is the narrative. We got a wide receiver at quarterback. I think that's very false.
A wide receiver at quarterback?
What? I guess he's saying that people think Jordan's a wide receiver. I don't know.
But what a weird statement. If he's anything, he's a running back.
Yeah. Which coach has more pressure on them, Mario or Riley? Mario, 100%.
Mario or Lincoln
Lincoln
Riley?
Riley.
Oh,
You just paid an athletic director $3 million, which was an absurd amount. There's a hell of a lot of expectations on Mario.
Look, USC just has money to blow. They've got that money. Miami's siphoning money from hospitals to pay people. Like, one of them has way more pressure.
Yeah, I agree. Keep trying to have a lot of our problems above the coaching staff. Yes, Khalil, 100%. And what's Khalil? I know you're on a lot of these platforms. I've seen you in NOLCast chats. I've seen you on a lot of these different ones. War Chant. You notice that War Chant, NOLCast, 24/7 Sports on the bench, they all say the same stuff. That so much of this is an administrative issue and has been an administrative issue. We're not the only ones saying that. We're not the only one the only ones telling you that. So, it's a problem that's got to get fixed. And again, I'll say it again, Michael Alford, the job's yours. I mean, you got the job. You need to come in here, and the good old boy network's got to get out of that athletic program, and we got to get people in here that are forward thinking, because college football is changing by the second, not by the minute, not by the hour, not by the day, by the second.
I'm just thinking of there's a comment about getting rid of Dillingham being a positive. But so I'm not going to give too much away, but I know that Atkins likes using tight ends, maybe even more than Norvell. Mm-hmm. So do you think that is a portal need by this staff, or do you think you're going to see your boy Jackson West take a step up and be serviceable in the tight end room? Because you're losing Young, right?
Jordan Wilson.
Sorry.
Yeah, he's going. I would have liked to have seen, if you could have gotten Jake Johnson, I would have liked to see he could have come in and been a day one impact starter for you. You've got so many freaking bodies on scholarship in that position as it is. It's would be difficult for me to bring in a portal kid. I think you kind of got to ride with what you got. Cam McDonald announced he's coming back. He's serviceable at best. I think you like Jackson West. You need to give him a chance to see what he can do.
Yeah, he didn't get too many snaps last year, did he?
He didn't get any from what I remember. Maybe one or two, but I think he's a guy that they like and a guy that's got a nice ceiling. They need to figure it out with him. I don't think I think if you could get a guy that could come in and be a day one player for you, then yes, you go get one. But if not, I mean, if all you got out there is bodies, then I wouldn't waste a spot.
Yeah. So the coaching of some of these guys, I think you do see a step up with the wide receiver room. I don't really see it possible that you see a step back.
yeah, I agree.
But I think it was encouraging to see Douglas kind of find a spot at the end of the season. McLean looked pretty decent. You just need one more transfer potentially to really up the potential of the room. But at the end of the day, I think our offensive line is going to be a above average ACC offensive line. I think our running game is going to be really solid as long as Jordan Travis stays healthy.
Yep.
Which means that if you're able to run the football, you just need one guy that can win one-on-ones. You need one guy that's going to win those one-on-ones every time. And hopefully you get that guy.
Yeah. Yep.
Or he develops. I don't know.
Do you think Alford is going to do anything drastic? You would need to define drastic for me. I think there's going to be change, though. I think that personally there's going to be change, and I think there's going to be commitment to doing what you need to do. From a program standpoint, but you know, they got to prove it. So it's on them. Is Malik that guy? Malik McLean? Mm-hmm. I don't think Malik's a number one receiver personally. I think he's a little stiff. I don't think he's I don't love those long striders. He's kind of a long strider. I think they got to be elite athletes to really pan out and be true number one receivers. I'm not sure he's that athletic, but we'll see.
Atkins on the staff 2 years from now.
I think it's probably zero, personally.
2 years?
Mm-hmm. 23, 24. Yeah, I think by 25, he's off somewhere
Yeah, I
else.
was going to say 50% because I think he either leaves 2 years or 3 years. I think he's gone. But he might be gone a year from now. He might be gone a month from now. You never know. Someone could
Yeah, you
just
never
come
know.
in.
All the money get thrown around.
Right.
Off-field budget and reorg. Drastic, probably not. I do think he does some stuff, though. We'll see. Guys like Ingram, Ingram's kind of the guy that I listen to the most on that kind of stuff. I think Ingram's really tied into what's going on off the field with his football program. Not to say, you know, I'm not trying to plug another show, but I can admit my weaknesses, and that's not an area that I'm necessarily strong at. I think Ingram's very, very intelligent in that regard, and I pay a lot of attention to what he has to say on that kind of stuff. So
yeah,
if you guys don't listen to people, he's a guy to listen to on what's going on off the field.
Yeah. Well, hopefully if you're here, you care about the game. That's what we're experts in. Or we feel like we're experts in, is talking about football on a level that, most other people don't have the freedom, I guess, to talk about.
We try not to do a lot of these cause we like to be more X's and O's oriented, but we felt like this kind of fit with what's going on right now. And I think it's a good opportunity for you guys to come in here and let it out a little bit of what you feel like is going on with the program, and let us let it out sometimes too, because we are fans also, and we want to be able to show you guys that some.
Does FSU need a transfer running back? I probably wouldn't waste the scholarship, to be honest with you. I think Toa Philly's going to kind of learn from some of the mistakes that he made this year. He made a lot of kind of young mistakes. And so I think he's going to be a good 1-2 punch.
I think he, Ward, I think Rodney Hill will be able to give you some snaps this year. And I know that they like DJ Williams. They really wanted to get him more touches last year. It just didn't kind of play out because you were getting such good production out of Jayshon Corbin. So I expect him to take a step forward. I expect Toa Philly to take a step forward. And I expect Ward to be a nice complement to those guys.
New King God, what other teams do y'all follow? So that might be a question for AB. I follow coaches. I don't really follow teams. Coaches, I don't know. I don't, my number two is Georgia Tech, but I could care less what Jeff Collins is doing because he's ran that program into the dirt and he's got the worst freaking, I don't know. I fanboy with some air raid stuff naturally, so I watch a lot of that. Western Kentucky was a lot of fun to watch this year. I've always been a Willie Fritz guy, who Atkins is off the Willie Fritz tree. So Willie Fritz is the head coach at Tulane. I started watching him when he was at Georgia Southern, which is where my sister went to school. So big into that coaching tree, kind of the spread. It's like a spread triple option look. That's kind of where I'm at.
I watch Florida State and only Florida State.
Yeah.
That's all I care about.
Yeah.
That's the truth. I mean, I'll watch other college football games, but I bleed garnet and gold and have for a really long time, and that ain't changing. So,
yep. I used to be really into the Boise State when they had Kellen Moore. Kellen Moore, being a 6 foot tall quarterback in high school, Kellen Moore was my idol growing up. So, that might be weird to hear, but I know Kevin wanted the OC from UNC when Dillingham left.
Phil Longo?
Look, Phil Longo knows how to coach an offense. Whether you can recruit and do everything else you need.
He would not fit with Mike.
Yeah, they have very different styles. Unfortunately, if I was ever an offensive coordinator, I'd probably my offense would look more like Phil Longo's. But I like Longo. He's a fun offensive coordinator to watch. He gets undue hate. I don't know why.
Yeah, it's the nature of the business. All right, guys. I think we put an hour and a half in here. Hopefully you guys enjoy just kind of hanging out with us and just kind of BSing your way through the night and BSing our way through kind of what's going on with the football program. I feel like we're in a time of transition and a time of we are in a very much a fork in the road for this football team, in my opinion, and this football program. And we're going to be here for the ride and see which direction it goes. And obviously, hey, Chris, obviously fingers are crossed that they go the right direction here.
Yeah, so thanks for joining us if you've made it an hour and 34 minutes into this stream. Yeah, so we've only gotten a significant drop off as soon as I started talking about other football teams. So thanks for joining us. We're going to step out here and yeah, we'll have a show probably. We might go bi-weekly here soon, but we'll definitely try to have a few things out every week and get some more content going your way. So yeah, any final thoughts, AB?
No, I think my final thoughts are, I hope everybody has a happy holidays, whatever it is you choose to celebrate at this time of the year. You know, hope you guys are with your loved ones, and you know, it's been a hectic week, but ultimately it's not about us. It's about these football players and everything that's kind of going on with them. And just to have a Merry Christmas, Happy Hanukkah, Happy Kwanzaa, all the above, whatever you choose to celebrate.
Yep.
We appreciate you guys taking your time out on a Monday night to come celebrate or to come hang out with us.
Yep. So have a good one, guys.
See ya. Go Noles.